We're going to be reading a familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Judges. I haven't preached on this, I don't guess, since it was my first revival out of state. I'm going to read one verse that says, Judges, the 16th chapter, the 20th verse. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. This is probably one of the first Bible stories, or at least one of the most favorite Bible stories of a lot of children, the story of Samson. We can think about back in our own memory, and I can't remember a time that I didn't know as a child the story about Samson, to be strong Samson. I found myself even in later years that to pray and say, "Lord, give me the strength of Samson." In a time when I needed physical strength. But what we're going to try to study on is, if the Lord would allow, is that that we might look at this and see that Samson was a strong man physically. But as we look at his life, we'll see that he was a man that was exceedingly weak and had many a weakness spiritually. The Bible says that if you would turn back, if you would, we know that the angel of the Lord come to Samson's mother, and he told her. He said he told her that she herself was not to drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. And then it goes on to say the first time that the angel spoke to her, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." And this was something that we know that she was barren, that her and her husband had been some time without a child, and she run to Zora, and she went and she told him. She told him about this this one that she perceived to be an angel. And she related and said that behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink. If you want to, you can find this in the 13th chapter of Judges. But she's relaying this now to her husband, and what is paramount in her mind is that she's not thou shalt not drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for thy child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And her husband was thinking, "Wow, this would be really something if I could hear this again." So Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And the Lord hearkened unto Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And they were from the town, I believe it was, as we said, Zora. And so the angel came again. And once again, her husband wasn't there. So she runs off and she gets him. And the angel relays it one more time. And he says in the 14th verse, it says, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, as I have commanded her, let her observe. So we have here that she's relays it to her husband. And we have here once again that the angel come and communicated this to Manoah, Samson's father. But yet there was only the one portion where he first come, the angel first come to Samson's mother and said, "Thou shalt not cut his hair." But that didn't stand out, did it, in her mind when she told her husband, or at least it's not recorded in the Holy Scripture. When the angel come back, and Manoah even said, "How shall we?" And
instruct this child. The angel of the Lord once again says about the strong drink and not to touch any unclean thing. We know that if you follow out that Samson was a man of God that was raised up to be a leader, to be a judge among those that had been in bondage. The Bible says, I believe it was 40 years they were in servitude to the Philistine. We know that Samson dwelt among the Philistine, that he didn't count them as strangers so much, before he went down to a city and he looked upon a Philistine woman, and he went to his father and he said, "Get me her to wife." His father and his mother said, "Is there not any child, any daughter of the children of Israel?" He said, "No, I won't be this Philistine wife." And the Lord used it as an occasion in order that he might be glorified. But I want to tell you today, it did not change the Word of God. For the Lord had told the children of Israel that they were not to marry out of their tribe, out of their nation, because Samson looked upon this wife and this woman, and the Lord seen that there could be an occasion that they might find a way to set the children of Israel free, that he allowed it. But I want to tell you tonight that it wasn't something that was good. We can look at Samson's life and we can see that it brought him heartache. But we find out the story as it would go, that they had a feast as was custom. And I believe it was 30 of the Philistines. They come and they come together. And Samson says, "I've got a riddle for you. Now listen, if you can't figure it out, you're going to have to give me of your wealth. You're going to have to give me of your possessions. But now listen, if you do figure it out, then I'll give the same back to you." So they said, "All right." And he began to tell them how he slew the lion. The Bible said, when he was going down, that is in his wife there in the lion. And he had no weapon. And he read him, the Bible said, I believe it was, as it were a goat. And he slayed that lion. Well, he went down again on another day. And what we find the lion there. He went to see that lion, did he not? The Bible says, as if it were out of the way, to look upon that lion. And you know what he found? He found the carcass of a lion. There had been a bunch of bees that had swarmed, and they had come and they had made and set up their hive around the carcass of the lion. And as soon as he took and he tasted of it, but let us think about the law of the Old Testament and the vow of the Nazarite. Listen, a Nazarite was to take was one when he took a vow that there was no razor to be touched upon his head until the vow. Now listen, until it was accomplished, or it came about, and then he was to shave his head, every hair upon his body. But we know that Samson was to be a Nazarite from his birth, and there had not been no razor. The goat is that he took was from a birth. As a child he was separated unto the Lord. And the Bible said, not only the Nazarites, but it goes on to say, if you study out the law of the Bible, the Old Testament, that if anyone come into contact with an unclean thing, that his time of separation must start off again. But we find out that Samson wasn't so concerned, was he not, in coming in contact with an unclean thing. He found a dead carcass of the Lamb, and the Lord had gave him the strength to kill. And he went back to that carcass. There were no sin. When the Lamb come before him, there were no sin. When he protected himself, that beast and slew him. But he had no business to come and search it out again and reach down and defile himself according to the Old Testament commands and taste of that honey. But guess what? It was good. He enjoyed it. And he began to tell the Philistines of a riddle. And we all know the riddle about what was strong and being sweetness found therein. We know that because his wife, we could read the riddle if you would, because it's not so important. But let us hear now. He said unto them that he would give them 30 sheets or 30 changes and 30 changes of garments if they could figure it out. If they could, then they was to give that to him. So then he began to tell them, put forth thy riddle that we may hear. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth me, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So we know that it was customary. We live in a society today that a lot of times when a man gets married, he'll go on what's a honeymoon. We know that in this period of time, a lot of times it's just overnight. They'll go somewhere special. Well, me and my wife, we didn't go nowhere special for our honeymoon. Well, yeah, we did. We went right there at our house, the house the Lord has blessed us with. Three children and another one on the way. You know, I'm glad we got to spend it right there, because it's the same place for the most part that we stay every night. I can think back on the first time that me and my wife come together as one flesh, and it's right within that home that the Lord has blessed us with. Oh, that's kind of like it was back in the Old Testament. They wouldn't have a honeymoon going off somewhere for one night, but they'd make a week of it. Some of them would make a month of it. And it was just time devoted to each other. Well, then this feast, during this feast, that established that, the riddle was given, and the Philistines couldn't figure it out. So they went, and they talked to the Samson's wife, who weren't nothing but a heathen, a woman that had no regard for the God that Samson served, a woman, no doubt that had many a ritual of her own. But they come, and they went to her father, because see, it's important to see here, how could a man that knew that he couldn't have his head shaved raise up when he was with Delilah and thought, I'll do as I did before? But he found out that the Lord had departed. I want to tell you how he come to that. He lived a life of disobedience time and time again. But because God had made him a judge, because God had chosen him that was disobedient to deliver the children of Israel, he's blessed in spite of it. We find here that the Philistines come and they begin to talk about a Samson's wife. The Bible said they went to Samson's wife and they begin and they told her and her father, we'll burn everything you got. She was truly promoted to Samson. She'd have known this don't matter anymore. But my homemade with my father. mother anymore. But I've been married. The censor. He is my provider. He is my home. He is my protector. This was one that could slay a lion. But why? Because he had no regard for Samson's God. What we find her doing. We find her to be no Samson. Pleading and begging. Oh, Samson, you mocked me. Here I am supposed to be your wife. And look, you ain't told me your riddle. Samson said, woman, I ain't even told my mama nor my father. But she cried and she cried for that week. But I find out, I don't wonder if old Samson didn't think about that was wrote back there in Genesis. That a father or that a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Maybe I reckon that caused him to see. I made all the teller. They weren't, were they? They weren't in unison. She didn't turn his God. And so he told her. And on the evening of the seventh day, she ran to the enemy. And she began to tell him of him. So they come there at the evening time. And said, what's sweeter than honey? And what's stronger than a lion? And old Samson said, you wouldn't know the answer. Had you not been plowing my heifer, so sure enough, he went down amongst the Philistines, and he threw straight 30 of them, and gave of their goods to those that he had promised. And we find him once again heartbroken as he left that one that he had married because he refused to obey the commandments of God. He went back home. But there was a time passed, and the Bible won't say how long it was passed, but we know that some time had passed and he went down. I believe the Bible says he had a goat. I reckon he was going to think the time's been passed long enough. I reckon I'll go and see my wife and I'll take this here meat and we'll have a meal. And I'll tell her I'm sorry, or rather I forgive her. I forgive her of her unloyalty to me, that I love her. So he went, and he went to her father, and he said, I want my wife. He said, well, wait a minute. I've gave her to another. And once again, old Samson, I believe his heart broke within him. Has the Spirit of the Lord come on him? How many of us at 18 our hearts truly broken? Can we be used of God at 18? We're broken that we can come and be used of the Lord and surrender to him and let his Spirit lead us. The Bible says that in his anger he left and he had an occasion against them. But now listen, we know what the Bible says about it. There is another time because he is through the Philistines. They come and they burn. They burnt the house of his wife and her father. And my understanding is that they perished. And we find Samson once again and his weakness and his disobedience. He goes back down to one of those cities. And we find him there in the companionship of a harlot. And the Philistines were waiting to slay him. But once again, because God had raised him up to be a judge, I believe the people, Samson was spared, sitting there because they were waiting for him. To come out in the morning, no doubt. But in the middle of the night, he left and he carried away the gates. Not only the gates, but the gateposts, the pillars of that city, and set them on the hill. My mind serves me. I believe it was 300 of the children of Judah. And now Samson was from the tribe of Dan. But the Bible said that those men of Judah come. They come to Samson. And they say, wait a minute, Samson. Don't you understand? We're under the servitude of the Philistines. You can't go around killing them. Their wrath is not only going to come down on you, but it's going to come down on us. And we've come to take it in. Well, I reckon Samson looked and thought maybe of what his actions could bring about. And he said, boys, all right now, if you swear to me that you'll not fall upon me, you can tie me up. Now listen. So they tied him up and they took him to the Philistines. When he got amongst them, I reckon the 300 of Judah left. I left him all alone there. And the Philistines said, we finally got him. This is the one that troubled us. And how did he trouble them? But because what his father-in-law had done, he had caught, the Bible said, I believe it was 300 foxes, and he tied their tails together, one to another, and he set it on fire, and it was during the harvest time, with the wheat and the corn, and it said it burned it all, and in doing so, that's why the Philistines went and destroyed his father-in-law and his wife, where they lived. So then, that's why they come and they were concerned. Not only had killed him, but he had done this very thing that would cause them, the Philistines. And now think about it. If you was to have a man that was over you, and he had a storehouse of goods, and you destroyed it, but that's what Samson done. Right when he was standing in the field, he destroyed it. And the men of Judah come to him. Why? They were concerned. They were troubled. Where if the Philistines lacked anything, where would they go and get it? Except by those that they were over. How many times have we seen it yet in today's society? A preacher starts preaching against sin, starts making people feel uncomfortable. There'll be people in the church just like those 300 men of Judah, and they'll come and they'll say, oh, wait a minute, what are you doing? Don't you understand how things are? We've heard you as a preacher, and I reckon we can par you, but I want to tell you something. They don't understand the workings of God. Why? Because we can har in part and har in other, but it don't change the fact that God's got a plan, and he's going to see it bring come about. He'll even do it in the midst of our disobedience, just as he used Samson. So we find Samson once again in the midst of his enemies. But one more time, the Lord, the Bible said, raised him above, because he found himself there bound, forsook by the strongest tribe of Judah, or of Israel, the men of Judah. There he was, and he broke the bands like they were threads. And it said he found the new jawbone of an ass, and he got it. Once again, he bowed down, and he touched that that unclean thing. But don't you have to agree? It was out of necessity this time. For he had not a weapon. And he grabbed it up. And he began to slay off. To the point of physical exhaustion. Now that's saying something here. We're talking about Samson, the strongest man physically ever to walk the face of the earth. And he cried out to his Lord. And he said, I'll die thirst. And the Lord rubbed out a spot in the jawbone of that ass. Now I want to tell you, think about it. There we are amongst he didn't have a gun. He didn't use hand grenades. But he threw up with the jawbone of an ass. He clubbed him to death. Can you imagine after killing 300 of them, how bloody he must have been. Not with the blood of his own flesh, but with the flesh of those Philistines, those that were vile. But yet God rubbed out a place in the jawbone of that ass, and forth come water, and he was refreshed. I want to tell you, the Lord will provide for you even in your sin. There's times when you're laying in the gutter in the filth of this world that the Lord will bring to your mind the wonderful words of life. You might hear it in an old filthy rock and roll song when you're out there and seeing. And just like old Samson found the place to find water amongst the filth and the uncleanness of this world, we can find it today. But listen, it wasn't for Samson's good, was it? He didn't see the error of his ways. Why? Because he was a judge of Israel. Because the Lord had never forsook him. Because the Lord had delivered him in the midst of his disobedience. So as the story goes, we find once again that Samson looked for love amongst the heathen, and he fell in love with this woman named Deborah, or Delilah rather. The Philistines come to her and told her they would make her a rich woman if she could find out the source of strength in Samson and could deliver him to them. So just like his wife, she began to plead with him. And he obviously was a man that had a weakness for the women and for the soft feminine touch. She went, and three times he deceived her. I believe it was one time that he had to be tied with 7 green cords, and then it was ropes that had new ropes that had never bound anything, and he broke them, and then he got closer to the heart of it. He said, "If you weave my 7 locks of hair," we've seen a Bible storybook, and it had Samson with braided hair, and my wife said, "I never pictured him as that." But you know, the Bible says that he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." So maybe I don't reckon it was French braid, because he wasn't French. But somehow he had 7 different locks of hair, and I guess he wore them in that way. And anyhow, so she began to weave them in his sleep. And he woke out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And I don't know, I don't fully understand what took place there, but anyhow, they thought they could have him bound by having his hair weaved such in such a manner. But he left and so close. Was he not at that point in time? I believe that he was the closest of being defeated at that moment than he had ever been in his life. Because he began to tell her, I got a little bit close to the source of his strength, which was the his obedience to God. Some people I've heard them say that the strength was in Samson's hair. Now listen to me. He was a Nazarite. It wasn't because his hair was a certain length. It wasn't because it hadn't been cut since he was a child. Because there had been many a Nazarite before him. And I reckon there was many after him. And though that might have been the strictest sect up until that point, there had never been another Nazarite like him. It weren't the hair, but it was because God had pointed and chose him and selected him out and said, now listen, he shall be called a Nazarite, and I'll use him to raise up my people. I'll use him to set them free from their bondage. And there's some things that you can't do. We find Samson doing many of those things that the Holy Scripture said he couldn't do. I reckon there'd be those today, if they were back then, that'd say everything's alright. You don't have to worry about Samson. He's one of God's chosen. He's the leader in the church. Everything will be alright. Well, I had a man tell me, oh, Darrell, what do you believe? Do you believe every time we sin, God's up there in heaven, crossing our name out, and writing it back in when we say we're sorry, crossing it out, and writing it back in. Listen, if you think that's the way things are handled, well, you're wrong. That's foolishness. God in His infinite wisdom knows all things, and there's coming a judgment day. But I want to declare to you that there's a point in your life, well, you'll make, you'll disobey one too many times. If you're, now listen, if you're intent and living your life like you want to live it, if you're intent on doing just what you think's necessary, I'll use this for an occasion to slay my enemy and not realize that God Almighty is our source, is the source of our strength, and without Him we can do nothing. And we find that to be the case. That's how a man so mighty and so strong was brought to the point that he rose up and he thought, I'll kill him once again. I'll go as it says. And I'll shake myself as times before. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Well, some would say, yeah, but the Lord didn't forsake him. Let us look at the heartbreak of the life of Samson. A man that was full of the strength of the Lord in moments of his life, but a man that truly lived a sorrowful life. And why was he? Because he failed to obey God's holy word. And there's where we find him, on the millstone, with his eyes cast down. I wonder how many of the children of the Philistines come in, and they drink, and they jeer, and they watch him, and they say, this was the one that killed a hundredth of the jawbone of an ass. And look at him, he's got the jaw of an ox. Look at him. And maybe they spit on him, and they say, look at me, you can't even see the one. Maybe they'd laugh and jeer and hit him and jump out of the way as he was bound chained to that old millstone. But there is coming a time. Aren't you glad? Glory to God for the millstones in this life that in our rebellion. I pray there's some here at this church. I pray God will change to that millstone. that they might see they can't do nothing without God. And as they go around and around and get lower and lower, that they'll begin to understand it ain't who they are. It's not who they're from. It's not what they want to do. But it's about the glory of God. Because we find, I believe, old Samson had a change of heart. And they would say, as we've already said, there'd be those that in Samson's disobedience, that God in the end delivered him. But was it not after Samson looked up to heaven and he prayed and he said, oh Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, oh God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. A man that had been blinded spiritually all his life, it took the taking of his two eyes to cry out to God. You know, that's their first account of all the times when he come against the enemy that he prayed. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and Samson broke the bonds and he slew the enemy. You can hear as he spoke about when he slayed the lion, sound like a man that didn't fully understand where the power came from. But when he cried out to the Lord and he stood there at those two pillars, I surely am glad that he finally understood
what it was to be a servant of the Lord. Y'all know the story. But this time, Samson didn't raise above his enemies, did he? But the Bible says, he took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein, and upon Samson. The Lord didn't raise him above his enemies that day, but the Lord granted his request. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Have you been making unwise decisions? Have you been looking at others as no doubt? Was Samson a role model, church? Did he live a life that was a role model for our children? Can you imagine being back in that time, trying to instruct your children to obey the commands of God? And there, the judge of Israel was marrying a Philistine woman. It was not only with harlots, but with harlots of another nation, as if that would matter. For that once again, when he found his love, he seeked not to find it within the children of Israel, within the Philistines. No, we can say that Samson, although he trusted God, he lived a life of heartbreak. And maybe you too, like maybe some of those children, think, when they seen Samson with his, no doubt he was physically fit, I don't know that he was unnecessarily bigger than all the other men in Israel, but no doubt he was a man that
when you looked on him, you could tell that he was physically strong. And he no doubt had pretty long hair. Maybe some of the women were even envious of how long his hair was and how thick it was. And I wondered how many children looked at Samson and said, I want to be just like him when I grow up. It's all right not to disobey as long as good comes of it. It's okay. We're, after all, the children of Israel. The Lord will deliver us without having a full understanding that God's law is not suggestions, but they truly are commandments. And that to transgress and to break those laws comes with dark consequences. Maybe you have not come to the point to tell the enemies of the Lord to shave your head. Maybe you have told the enemies of the Lord to weave your hair around a beam. I pray to God that you're not as Samson was at that time and realize how close you were to destruction. See, I want to do more than to die among my enemies. But I want to live forever with Christ Jesus. I want to live to fight another day. I want to follow the Lord where He would have me to go. Let's get some song to sing. Can you say that? Would be presumptuous of me to say that you've crossed that line. I don't know at what point in your life that you will have told Delilah to shave your head. But God does. And when you raise again, as in times past, the Bible speaks about it in Numbers. That Balaam, we preached this, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. That Balaam, when he had seen that it was the Lord's will to bless the children of Israel, it said that he went and he turned his face to the wilderness. That he went as not in times before, and he turned his face to the wilderness. And still yet, in his disobedience and his rebellion, God spoke to him and told him exactly what he said. But if you read further on down through Numbers, you'll realize that in him turning his face to the wilderness, even though the Lord, we know the story, the Lord had come so close to slaying him by the angel, and he opened up his eyes, but in opening up his eyes, he did not open his heart. God has reserved that place for us. It's entirely up to us. Will you open up your heart to the ways of the Lord? And he gave Balaam, as he gave Samson, time and opportunity over and over again. And to the point that Balaam gave wicked counsel, and he no longer was concerned about a blessing from God, was he? Do you want to have the testimony of Samson? For all the good that could have been said of him was said and summed up in that in his death he slew more Philistines than in his life. Thankful that us that are servants of Jesus Christ, our job's not to slay, as it were, but is to point others to Christ Jesus and to promise them new life in Him. Is that your motivation today? My prayer is that each and every one of us might search the Scripture, that the Lord might show us exactly of what we are to do, and that with every temptation that we might flee that temptation, and in fleeing that temptation run closer to the Lord, so that if the Lord was to work in our life, it would not be in spite of us, but it would be with our intents and our desires the same as His.